Welcome to Sipping Success, the ultimate podcast for all things beverage and alcohol. We're here to quench your thirst for insights, analysis, and a splash of entertainment. Get ready to dive into the world of beverages with us. From the latest trends to in-depth discussions with industry leaders, we've got it all covered. Whether you're a connoisseur or a curious sipper, Sipping Success is your go-to guide. Join us as we uncork knowledge, raise a glass to innovation, and help you elevate your brand to new heights. So grab your favorite drink, sit back, and let's sip success together. Tune in to Sipping Success and drink in the wisdom. Cheers. This podcast is brought to you by Mushroom Media, the go-to digital media agency for all things marketing. From crafting captivating campaigns to decoding social media sorcery, Mushroom Media is here to empower your brand and help you scale. So whether you're brewing, distilling, or concocting the next big thing, Mushroom Media has a solution for you.
Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Sipping Success. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. And with us for this episode is Gabriella DiLorenzo. She is the Director of Digital Strategy for Mushroom Media. Gabby, welcome.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
All right, we're happy to have you. We're excited to talk about, you know, your experiences within wine and spirits. How did you get started in the industry?
Yeah, so I, just like any other college graduate, was looking for a job out of college. I thought I might want to do marketing, might want to do sales, wasn't quite sure. And I actually applied for this awesome agency in New York City called The Media Kitchen. And I got a job there, and I had a ton of great mentors. They taught me the ropes for search, like programmatic, social, custom activations. And that's where I really started my media career. From there, I worked at a couple of agencies, a tech company, and then I landed working on the agency team for some spirits brands. So I've got to work on tons of amazing brands like Brie Goose, Bombay Sapphire, Angel's Envy, just lots of really exciting brands to be a part of. And I've learned a lot from every spirit that I've worked on, and honestly, just any client, whether it be spirits brand or not.
Okay, well, great. So you have a great experience working with some bigger brands in the industry. Can you maybe shed some light, in your years in the industry, how have you adapted to changes?
Yeah, I think it's really about staying up to date on all of the trends, all of the latest news, and honestly, just like rolling with the punches. It's really important to make sure, like I said, you're up to date on all the trends so that you could use things that have happened in the past to help inform kind of like future moves. For example, if in the case of like the cookie deprecation that has been happening over the last several years, we kind of just had to roll with it, and we had to gather news as it came out. And so, and then with all the information we had to figure out what the next best step forward was. So I think it's really important to just stay knowledgeable, stay up to date. That way you are confident in the decisions you're making for the brands that you're working on.
And so in staying up to date, what are some tactics? Is it, getting a good peer network going within the industry? Is it reading any sort of periodicals? What worked best for you?
Yeah, for me, I am signed up for tons of different newsletters, everything from social media to retail newsletters, wine and spirits newsletters, and try to skim the headlines on those, making sure I don't really miss anything big. And then, of course, staying in the loop on LinkedIn with a peer network, like you mentioned. So that's kind of how I would approach it.
Okay, very good. And can you, particularly in the activation world in spirits, can you share with us any specific tools or tactics that you used that were particularly effective in improving results for you?
Yes, I am a big person for analytics and for data points. I don't really do anything don't make, or not that I don't make any decisions, but I try not to make any major decisions without having some sort of backup data. So that's what I would say is my biggest tool, just having a strong data set. And if it's a new campaign, because of course you're going to want to try new cutting edge technologies, you can't always do the same thing over and over again. I think it's important to have a roadmap of how that campaign is going to go. So if it's working with a partner on something new that they're releasing, making sure that you understand the ins and outs of how exactly how that product is going to work, and just making sure that you have a solid base to be able to execute that new exciting activation. So I guess in so many words, the tool would be like having data and knowledge in order to inform decisions. But in terms of just tactics, I think that really is dependent on the goal of the campaign and the goal for the brand. So maybe you have a tiny brand that really wants to build awareness. You're going to want to leverage something like social, and because we know that we can drive the most efficient CPMs across social platforms like Meta. So it really is dependent on the brand and the specific situation. I like to treat every brand as its own unique snowflake.
What was a favorite of yours working on some of those smaller brands or the bigger ones?
It's hard to say. The smaller brands always have a lot of heart, and the bigger brands have a lot of heart too. But the bigger brands have more budget to play with.
Oh
So it's
yeah.
a little bit easier to do things. So I guess no shade to the small brands, but the big brands, sometimes it's a little easier to sell things through.
It's a little easier when you're dealing on like a champagne and caviar budget, I guess.
Oh
So can you tell us any challenges or obstacles you faced in that activation world, and maybe something in particular that you were proud that you overcame?
yeah, I think I kind of talked about it, but the cookie deprecation over the last 2 years was a really big shakeup in the industry, just because all of our audiences were based on cookies and we were tracking people based on their browsing behavior. So it's kind of a huge shift in how we think about targeting people. And so the way we overcame that was just trying to be innovative and trying to think of new ways of how to reach people. So maybe that looks like contextually targeting people for like a spirits brand, finding different food and wine publishers. Like VinePair is a really credible, reputable spirits publisher, and they are always putting out really like 10 out of 10 quality content. So finding those publishers that really resonate with the brand that we're working on, making sure that our audience that we're trying to reach is there.
With that deprecation, did it almost feel like you had to almost start over again?
I don't think it exactly felt like starting over again, just because brands do a lot of their audience work. So we kind of have an idea of where our audiences are living and where they're playing on the web and on all the different social platforms. So it was more of kind of finding a new angle on how to reach them versus starting over again, which was nice. It was a big shakeup, but it wasn't too terrible.
And so you love data and metrics. So let's maybe dive in that direction for a minute here. Can you shed any light on any metrics or KPIs that you like that measure real success in your world?
Yes. So I guess when we're thinking about a branding campaign, if there's a brand that has a new campaign message or a new brand identity that they're launching and introducing to the world, it's really important to make sure that you're reaching enough people so that the new message kind of like gets into the social ecosystem and you start to receive some recognition of that message. And so in a case of that, I would really look towards CPM that just shows like how many impressions are out, and then unique people reached. That just shows, because we could have a very efficient CPM, but if you're only reaching 500,000 people and you're reaching them 7 times a week, it's not as effective as if you're reaching 2 million people like twice a week, because it's just kind of inundates the person and then they get sick of your brand. So I think I look to that when I'm thinking of awareness. Also really, really focus on brand lift studies whenever possible, because that is It gives you the ability to ask customers or audiences more in-depth questions. You can ask them if they've seen your ad. And if you have a key message within your ad, you can ask them if they recognize that message and if they associate it with your brand. So you can tell if your targeting is doing its job as well as if the creative is doing its job. Because you could be targeting all of the right people, but if the creative falls flat, then it's really hard to measure those results and kind of optimize from there. And vice versa, you'd have the best creative in the world, but if you have the wrong audience targeting, then the campaign won't be effective.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for sharing all that. What sort of partnerships or collaborations you've formed over the years that have been really a difference maker for you?
One that I'm most proud of, I think to date, I worked with Grey Goose on a partnership with Spring Hill, the Spring Hill company, partially owned by LeBron James and Paul Rivera. And we integrated into the TV show that they do called The Shop, which is really exciting. The Shop is all about bringing big names in culture, whether it be athletes, comedians, actresses, musical artists together in a barbershop setting, and then having them just have like real authentic conversations about what's going on in culture, how it impacts them, how it might impact the world. And so that was really cool to work on. We started in season five. I think it was last year, like the years blend together. It was either last year or the year before that we did this partnership. And it was really cool to be the first spirits partner to work with the shop at that level, and to see and to work on integrating the brand into all of the episodes, making sure it wasn't like super cheesy the way that we were showing up, because you can have a brand that shows up and just slaps their logo on and it's kind of like in your face. Or what we did, we took a different angle and we had martinis in the episodes. We had the bottle placed, but not like overtly placed and obnoxiously placed in the episodes. And then we were able to align on different social integrations on all of the main social platforms. So Twitter at the time, now X, Instagram, Facebook. So yeah, that one was a really cool one. And we saw really great results from that. We were able to improve Grey Goose's mentions on social. We saw really strong improvement there. We also saw strong association between Grey Goose and the shop, which was really cool. To see that people were kind of associating us with something that was like so big in pop culture at the time. And just there are key brand metrics that every brand has that we were seeing improvements on as well.
And was that helping Grey Goose get into kind of an entirely new market for them?
It was not quite a new market. It was kind of a new market. It was a market that we wanted to improve on. And so it was helping achieve some of like the key branding goals that Grey Goose had at the time.
Interesting. Well, let's maybe like take a step back and kind of go think a little bit I guess high level for a second. Like what advice would you give to other media professionals looking to, you know, emulate your success and looking to either break into your type of career or establish themselves?
I would say to have an open mind, really. I see people who are kind of closed-minded from time to time, and it's kind of a shame if you're closed-minded in this industry because there's so much that you can learn and uncover if you just like give a new partner a chance, even if it's just a 30-minute meeting. There's always something of value if you have a conversation with somebody. So I think having an open mind kind of leads to more interesting discussions, helps with your personal development, and helps you be eager and curious to learn even more about different topics. So yeah, be open-minded and always look to learn.
Well, that's great. This has been a wonderful conversation here, Gabby. And you have been listening to the Sipping Success podcast. Our guest has been Gabriella DiLorenzo, Director of Digital Strategy for Mushroom Media. And Gabby, we're nearing the end here of our conversation, but want to also ask, like, if anybody wants to reach out to you for partnering or to ask you a question, or to do business, how would they go about reaching out to you?
Yes, you can always find me on LinkedIn. My LinkedIn is Gabriella DiLorenzo, or it's the / G DiLorenzo. Or I'm on Instagram all the time too. So Gabriella DiLorenzo on Instagram.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And again, great, insightful conversation. Thanks for joining us. Again, you've been listening to the Sipping Success podcast. Gabby, have a wonderful day. And thank you, everybody. Until next time.
Thank you. Have a good night.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Sipping Success, brought to you by Mushroom Media. We hope our discussions have left you thirsting for more knowledge in the world of beverages and alcohol. Stay connected with us on social media for updates. And remember, the journey to success is best enjoyed one sip at a time. Keep exploring trends, connecting with leaders, and scaling your brand. Until our glasses meet again, cheers to your continued success, and may your cups always runneth over with inspiration. We'll catch you in the next episode.